Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Big Interview Bite Size. I'm Graham Hunter, and in each episode, you'll hear an elite footballer tell a story that's guaranteed to brighten your day. All of them come from my podcast, The Big Interview with Graham Hunter, which you can find by searching on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports psychology is okay, one for one. As a sports manager, and people say, well, when's your psychology work? I say, it's every second of the day. I've got to look like a leader, behave like a leader, look after players. Well, it's the first thing on Monday morning when I come in, because the steward will say to the receptionist, he's a bit down, he's this, he's beat. You've got to walk in there and convince everybody in that building that you're ready for this next game coming up. And he was like that, Ferguson, and you try and do your best the same. Sports psychologists, when you're doing your university studies, it's basically make somebody better. That's what you do. Help them. It's not that way in sports, this, in the footballing world. I have 25, 26 players, say Alec Ferguson. He only needs to make 14 feel better for that weekend game. The rest, deal with it. I'll deal with you later. You know, if you're down, tough. If you feel bad about yourself, boom. If you feel like bursting into tears, which many has had, after the abuse you get, tough. Deal with it. I'll bring you back in the fold when you're ready to come back in the fold. In sports psychology, you're the man, you're the manager, you're the sports psychologist at a club. Okay, some people might need individual help. Problems on and off the pitch. Sports psychologists might help with things. But it generally, it's at the football manager who's a sports psychologist. I remember watching Ernie Els, and he's disappeared again, the sports psychologist. When he was winning, he always had a sports psychologist beside him. Always stand beside him on the green. And I remember the interview about Ernie and the sports psychologist, and somebody asked him, do you have any other players? He went, yeah, well, I've got about another 15. We'll get out and help them, because they've not made the cut.
Ernie's doing okay.
Ernie's doing all right. And you've watched the thing with sports psychologists. They seem to turn up when things are going well. I think one turned up to help England, who was Liverpool one, and he turned up. He's got to do this and do that.
I have no comment to make what this guy's worked in, but Luis Enrique has brought a sports psychologist with him, and he is like a limpet to him everywhere at Barcelona. Yeah. I say that without comment. I've met him, I've watched him. But when Luis Enrique's talking to media, sports psychologist on his right shoulder. When he goes into a one-on-one interview room like this, the sports psychologist is in there with him. Now, I'm not sure if he's assessing and listening to his clients, saying, well, what I would have done or the next thing. And I know that the players, even these elite players at Barcelona, are like, hold on, man, that's witchcraft. Take it away. Yeah. And it's a difficult process.
Yeah, I think that's a problem, because you are what you are. You cannot. And that's what the players want. They want you to lead them. Know this voice coming from the side into the head and past it. They want you to be the leader. They want you to lose your temper in an interview because you've decided, I'm not going to listen to you because you've said my players are not very good. I'm telling you they're good. And I'm telling you they're right. I'm telling you they're right players. And they'll become, and they go, oh, yeah, he's defending us. You know, they're not wanting another voice coming through to talk. This one to talk to this. We'd want it to Southampton as well. I mean, oh, she burst into tears. She couldn't handle the players. We went to Liverpool next again day after her burst into tears. I had to go to the players because Rupert had her there before I got there. And we went and beat Liverpool 2-1. It's not a problem. If Ferguson was the best sports, the way he went about it, you would go, whoa, you couldn't get away with it in any other business apart from sport.
Ruthless. Often unfair.
Yeah, you would think it was unfair. And it could scar people for life, some people.
But just, you could say about Leo Messi, like, okay, he plays like that, but we won't see anybody else. Mr. Ferguson had a phenomenal ability to feed off that chain of, I'm in charge and you'll do this, and strengthen himself. Whereas I think the normal human being gets tired out by that.
Yeah.
I think it breaks you.
I think, yeah, that's right.
Where it fed him.
He worked on anger. That was his petrol. He was only at his best when he's angry. And to be fair, and I'm not going to say anything like him, when I was a football player, when I was angry, I was a better player. Anger made me more focused, more determined, yeah. And that's why I said when you're asking me about Leeds, I just seem to be angry all the time.
Was it doing you damage subsequently when you...
No.
No, well, I mean, I'm asking seriously.
I could go away for that and not be angry anymore.
On and off?
Aye.
As I've seen...
I think if you spoke to me, if you spoke to anybody supporting me, you spend most of your time laughing.
As I've seen he can do. For all that it appeared that you were in the full force of the hurricane with him, yeah. 90% of the time it was manufactured or turned on. Now, the anger was real there, I know, but I thought he was a very... Listen,
I only see...
If you listen to this...
Most of the stuff I see...
He's a very manipulative man.
Aberdeen, when he was a young manager, and us in the same dressing room, you pay thousands to see it, millions to see what went on in there. Because there was people who thought they knew what was going on, because we've all been managers most of that team, yeah. And we all thought we knew the game. And then he'd come in, the raw energy in the room was quite frightening. It was incredible. It was something I wouldn't have missed for the world. It was fantastic.
So you won't sneer at me if I say that by being a fan for my club, which I care about passionately, yeah. Still, I'll still be an idiot and travel everywhere with a red scarf on, and I'll always be that way, and I don't care. But by watching and listening and watching you lot under him change the boundaries and say, we can beat them.
Yeah.
We can go there and we can beat them. I went, I can do that too. Now, I think that's a little ripple in the pond effect from him.
Yeah.
The world's yours if you want to take it.
As fans who used to go to Ibrox and just go there, yeah, actually going down there with a strut. And that's what we had, a strut.
Oh,
it wasn't a... It was a confidence. I don't think it was an arrogance. It was a confidence that we trusted each other, mm-hmm. And vice versa. The fans trusted the players and we trusted... So you had this group all marching down to Glasgow.
I'll tell you, it felt...
And as a matter of fact, you actually took it for granted after a while.
Yes. Not complacency, but a belief that it would keep on happening.
They've got to be there, because somebody said about getting the Scottish Cup final. And I remember a point where we used to think, well, we're going there every week, every year. That's where we go.
Oh, we went down to Hampden. We knew you'd win.
We go
every year.
We're off again. Let's go.